I have never seen a person suffering from leprosy. It still exists in some part of the world, such as India, Bangladesh, and the Philippines. By all accounts, it is a horrible affliction. As it is depicted in the Bible, leprosy was the most feared sickness, and those suffering from it were the most despised outcasts in all of Jewish society. Every society has its untouchables, its undesirables, the unwanted, the rejected. It's usually any one group or anyone who is remarkably different from everyone else in a way that makes everyone else uncomfortable. A panhandler stops you on the street and agitates you for money, and you are offended. A disabled person wants to board a city bus, and the driver has to stop to help him on, and then fold up the seat you were sitting on to allow for his wheelchair, and you are irritated, and then embarrassed for yourself for feeling that way. As I was writing this sermon this week, I was sitting in the courtyard at the Santa Fe place waiting for my car to get new brakes, and a young woman, tagged today as mentally challenged, was walking around the courtyard, and she stopped to stare at me. I smile, she smiles back, as she keeps on standing there and staring. I'm unsettled. Then four people gathered in a small circle in the middle of the courtyard. They locked their arms together, shut their eyes, and began to pray. I was surprised and curious, but not enough to go over and join them. After all, I'm a Presbyterian. In today's text, Jesus is still on his way to Jerusalem, and he's taking his jolly good time to get there. He's traveling the back roads, not the interstate, but more like the old Route 66, where you might encounter a particular cross-section of society, the eccentrics, the old-timers, the adventurers, the nostalgic, but not the rest of us who are too busy to stop or to care about how people different from us pass through the days of their lives. Jesus picks a route like this where he will encounter a myriad of characters with all of their different needs and interests that are soon to intersect with his. So he enters a village, walking through the center of town. Women are busy shopping at the food stalls, buying meat and vegetables for the evening meal. Shopkeepers are displaying their goods for sale, cloth for weaving, pottery for holding water and for cooking. Children are playing hide and seek between the blankets and the carpets hanging from the merchants' tents. It all seems normal enough, even for a back road experience. But then something out of the ordinary occurs, even for this backwater village. 10 lepers show up from the hinterlands. They warily and painfully approach the edge of the road, looking for the one that they heard was coming to town and about whom they heard could cure them of their dreaded disease. Jesus senses their presence and hears their plea a block away. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. He walks up to them, just as he would with anyone else, and with little or no forethought tells them to go to the temple to see the priests, where they might be cleansed, if these priests were inclined to do that sort of thing. And so it was, at that very moment, they were. Going to the priest was a moot point, because the lepers are made well. The scales fall, their eyes open, the pain ends. They're cured, and everybody goes home, except for one. He lived out of town, in Samaria, and had nowhere to go. And even as a cured leper, he was still an untouchable, still unwelcome in this little Galilean town. But he turns back, and he comes to Jesus. He alone, out of all of the others, returns to find Jesus and thank him for his healing. The stranger in the midst, a foreigner who is an outcast from society, is willing to suffer the indignities and the abuse of the crowd to pay tribute to the one who restored his life. That took a great deal of courage. Luke dramatizes it this way. In verse 14, where all the lepers are made well, the Greek verb that he uses is katharizo, meaning to cleanse, as in catharsis. In verse 15, only one leper realizes that he is clean. The verb here is iomai, meaning to heal. In verse 19, where that one leper, the Samaritan, returns to Jesus in gratitude, the verb here is sozo, meaning to make whole. Now, there is a large difference a particular difference between being cleansed of something, as in cathartic, and being made whole. Many people, thanks to the miracles of modern-day medicine, can be cleansed of an illness, but they may not be completely well. Prozac can treat for depression, but it won't make a person whole. There's always underlying issues that can keep a person down. Heart surgery can heal a heart that is literally broken, but it can't change a person's lifestyle, which caused the disease in the first place. Wholeness is a state of knowing that you are in good balance, perfect balance, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. The first 9 lepers got well, but just left, neither thinking about what happened or thanking Jesus that it did. Only the one came back, realizing what happened, realizing that something was missing, that he had to dig deep down into his soul to realize what had happened to him. It was not a matter of course. It wasn't something to which he was entitled. It was an act of grace. Perhaps this is the way it needs to be when God is trying to make a point with us, that the proof of God's amazing love comes from the most unexpected places. The one who is most ostracized and ignored by polite society is the one who embodies God's power and grace, and he becomes the true model of discipleship. What an example this one is for us to follow, and how hard it is to follow him. What are the odds? 10 to 1 or more? When it comes to returning gifts and thanksgiving to God, we are more like the 9 lepers who simply go about their business after their healing rather than the one who returns to give thanks. Jesus liked to go to backwater places to engage people. After all, he was from a backwater place. But what if he came here, way up here in the mountains of northern New Mexico? What if he came here to dispense gifts of healing, of cleansing, and wholeness? Do you not think that he already has? Some of you have experienced medical cures, for instance, that defy any odds against them. All of us have experienced medical cures of some sort that has brought us much welcome relief. Some of you have experienced the depths of depression. All of us have suffered our dark nights of the soul. Some of us have had broken bones and bodies. All of us have had broken hearts. All of us gathered here today have known trouble, but at this moment we are blessed. We're blessed because we're here, and God is here, and we're met, and we are found. To be encountered by the living Christ is to be made whole. It is his desire that we be made whole through our connection and our union with him. To read about that in Scripture is good news. It's gospel news. To experience that in the daily business of our lives is remarkable and soul-stirring. To respond to it with thanksgiving and the visible demonstration by serving the needs of others, by sharing what God has generously provided, by telling others what God has done in our lives, that is a gift in itself. It's what people who are cleansed and made whole want to do, touching those who Jesus would touch and does so through us. The story of the healing of the 10 lepers ends with Jesus telling that one who came back to say thanks to go on his way. I wonder where his way went. I wonder how his life changed. I wonder if he went back to Samaria and said to his friends and family, "Look at me, I am cured. I'm healthy. I can do things now." And you won't believe how it happened. This man, this Jesus, just looked at me and I was made well. I asked for mercy and I received it. I'm going to talk about this man all over town. Or did he stay in Galilee? Did he say to Jesus, "I want to go your way. I want to follow you, to learn from you. I want to do what you do, helping people like me to change, to live better. I want to learn how to make people whole again." What do you suppose the odds were that this man did one or all of these things? What do you suppose the odds are that you would do the same? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.